Luke chapter 6, starting at verse number 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he, that is Jesus, would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, "Rise up and stand forth in the midst." And he arose and stood forth. And said Jesus, then said Jesus unto them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. I want to take a few moments today and I want to speak on the subject, what can you do when something in your life has withered? What can you do when something in your life has withered? Let's get some help from our Heavenly Father. Once again, we do thank you, Father, for how you anointed, as already been mentioned by our Brother Larry, the United Praisers, and how their hearts lifted us heavenward today. We thank you for that. And oh God, once again, we do ask that you would use your word to speak to our hearts. God, we need you today. And we pray that you'll give us direction in our lives so that we'll know exactly what you want us to do in 2018. And Father, those things in our lives that are withered, I pray that by the close, even, yea, Father, way before, that those things will be restored. Have your way. Do what you desire to do. Save the lost and help every believer. In Jesus' precious name, I do pray. And all the people of God said, amen. Listen, when I was in Bible college, I took several classes. One of the classes that I took was a class called hermeneutics. Now, in hermeneutics, if you don't know what that is, it's just the science of interpreting scripture. And one of the laws of hermeneutics is that scripture has only one literal interpretation. No matter how you look at it, there's only one literal interpretation, but many applications. We have really a lot of beliefs, religions, denominations, etc., that have formulated their belief system on scripture as they would look at it. But scripture has not been interpreted in many cases in a scientific way. Scripture has not been looked at within its context. Anytime you interpret scripture, you interpret scripture, first of all, in the context of the verse, then the chapter, and then the book, and then the New Testament, and then the entire word of God. And so anytime, because if you don't, then what will happen is someone will get a text, and then they'll begin to formulate their belief system off of that text. And because the text has not been interpreted contextually, then you'll get a belief system that is not consistent with the entire word of God. And that's how people get off doctrinally. Well, anytime I stand behind the pulpit, I want you to know what you're getting. That's why for a while, years ago, I would tell you I'm preaching an expository sermon or either I'm preaching a topical sermon. Well, today I'm going to be looking at this passage and I'm going to give you the literal interpretation of the passage. What is the passage actually saying? Then I'm going to make an application to that passage. That is biblical interpretation and doing it scripturally. And every now and then, I'm going to maybe give you a pointer, and I'm going to say, okay, now I'm going to make my application. You've heard me say that before, but maybe you don't know what I'm doing. And so I'm trying to let us all know, so when anytime you're sitting down, you're hearing a message, you'll know exactly what you're getting. You'll know what the person is doing, or you'll know if they're not interpreting scripture the right way. And so we have a person in our text today, this man, literal interpretation, this man had a withered hand. That's the literal interpretation. But I'm going to make an application today, and there are going to be some things that we're going to look at. And again, my message is entitled, What Can You Do When Something in Your Life Has Withered? Well, let's see what we can learn from this man today. Number one, realize that things in your life can wither. Realize that things in your life can wither. Let me say before I even read the scripture, a lot of times people cannot get help because they live in denial. If something in our lives have withered, we can have a smile on our face, we can have an amen on our lips, but we, and by the way, you should. I'll show you that in just a little while. Just because stuff comes up in our lives doesn't mean that we need to stick our lips out and droop our eyes. And that's biblical too. But we must also be real with ourselves and with God, because God already knows. And if we're ever going to get some help in our lives, from the pulpit to the last pew, then we just need to be open and honest with God and say, God, this particular thing in my life has withered. Lord, I want it restored. And so that'll never happen unless we realize that things in our lives can wither. Luke chapter 6, notice verse number 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue. That's Jesus entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. Now the Bible tells us that this man's, not his left, but his right hand, very specific, was withered. Literally meaning the man couldn't use his hand. His hand was withered. The Greek word for whose right hand had withered, and sometimes I may use a Greek word, but one Greek word may cover a phrase. But the Greek word for whose right hand had withered literally means which hand had become withered. In other words, Matthew chapter 12, verse number 10, even translates it that way. It says, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. That is, his hand had become withered. This man was not born with a withered hand. This man, something happened in this man's life that literally made his hand become withered. I could talk today about even what tradition says concerning this man, but that would not be biblical. I just want you to know that there are at least things out there that people have said as to historical things as to why they said this man's hand was withered. And one even looked at the fact that he was a stone mason. So even when you hear something like that, understand that's not coming from the Bible. That's just what somebody looking back in history has espoused for whatever reason, whatever research they did, etc. But I didn't come to deal with that today. What I came to do was just look at the fact that this man at one time had a healthy hand, but now his hand was withered. Something happened that caused it to wither. And even when I was reading the passage, I looked at a word and I quoted that word and I put a little emphasis on the word, and it was the word restored. You can have an old car that at one time was bright, shiny, new, but then you leave it out in the elements for a while or something happens and you have to take it to the paint shop and let it be restored. Well, this man in our text, something had happened. His hand was withered. In the parable of the sower, in Mark chapter 4, the same Greek word for withered is used. Here is what Mark chapter 4, verse 6 states. It says, but when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 19 states, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, He came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. See, the fig tree didn't grow up withered. The fig tree withered. Oh, boy, I almost want to stop and preach on that one for a little while. But thank God that we have a Savior who is so powerful that all he had to do is just speak, and whatever he desires comes to pass. He looked at that tree that was supposed to be bringing forth some fruit, and he said, from henceforth, no fruit will grow on you. And just like that, instantly, it withered away. Well, the same one who could look at the tree and say, no fruit's going to grow on you from henceforward, and it withered away. He's the same one who can look at your withered tree this morning, yeah, and can say, it will be restored. Yeah. And just like that, a change can come in your life. He is just that powerful. Things in our lives can wither, but thank God we don't have to stay there. The same word is used for this man's hand in Matthew 21:19, as I've already quoted, that same word. And so we must realize that things in our lives can wither. So now let me make the application. A person can have the fruits of the Spirit one week, and the next week they can be withered in their soul. And one of the fruit of the Spirit that the enemy will try to come after, and you have to fight the hardest to keep, because it is a very important fruit, and that is joy. My Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit that we have to fight hard to keep. And the enemy will throw things in your way, in your path, to try to take your joy, sap your joy. He does not want you coming to the house of God rejoicing, praising God, saying amen. He doesn't want you in your home having joy. He doesn't want you on your job having joy. He doesn't want you to fog up your car while you're driving having joy, because you and the Lord are having a good time, man, and maybe you weeping and crying all over the place. He doesn't want that in your life. He wants you to be miserable, upset, angry, depressed, despondent, discouraged. He does not want you walking around with joy in your heart, because he understands the importance of joy. Joy is a bridge to other things. And the Bible teaches that our joy can literally wither away. There's a minor prophet, his name is Joel. In Joel chapter 1 and verse number 12b, it says, joy is withered away from the sons of men. I gotta read that again. Joy is withered away from the sons of men. See, we have to fight to keep our joy from withering, because when our joy withers, it causes other things in our lives that we are associated with to wither. I'm talking about on an individual basis to wither. Let me give you a scripture. It causes stuff to wither. I quoted Joel chapter 1, verse 12b. But remember, I've already told you, always interpret the verse within the context of the chapter. Well, if I'm going to take a part of a verse out, then I better interpret that verse within the context of that entire verse. Are you with me? So I quoted Job 1:12b, which says, joy is withered away from the sons of men. But I left out a very important word that begins that part that I said Job 1:12b, and I left off the first part, and I did that on purpose. Now, let me read Joel chapter 1, verse 12, the entire verse. It'll be up on the screen. Watch this. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered. Why? Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. All of these things that were going on were literally transpiring because the joy had withered away from those individuals. See, when our joy leaves, other things that we are associated with begin to wither. I want to ask you, I won't even ask the question. I'll just make a statement. If your joy is withered today, you can get it back. Because, see, joy is important, as I've already said, to the child of God. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, when joy is withered away, then that means your strength will be withered away. The joy of the Lord is your strength. See, we need the joy of the Lord. We need the joy of life. We need the joy of living as a Christian. And if we lose those things, then they need to be, and I'll just use this phrase, this term, unwithered in our lives. And what will cause us to lose our joy? I'll tell you what causes it. Problems. Problems. You ever wonder why you have problems in your life? Well, one of the reasons, as I've already stated, is because the enemy is coming after your joy. Because if he can get your joy, he can get your strength. And if he can get your strength, then he can get your disillusion. And once you become disillusioned, then you're going to start making decisions. And then when you start making decisions, those decisions will normally not be in line with the word, but in the way we feel. And then when that happens, then that's when our life gets way off in the left field someplace. Because he understands that when you have joy, and it comes from the Lord, there's going to be communication and talking with him. There's going to be getting direction from him. He's going to be the one who's going to strengthen you to be able to ride out your storm until he says, peace, be still. And problems will cause our joy to wither, and it'll cause our heart to faint. It'll cause our heart to wither. Psalm 102, verse 1 down through verse number 4, it says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thy heart unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. I'm going to stop right there before I read on. Listen, he's got some problems, but guess what he's doing? He's talking to the problem solver. And when you start talking to the problem solver right in the midst of your problems, and then you just be open and honest with him, he's going to do some things in your life. He can restore some things in your life. Verse number 3, for my days are consumed like smoke. He's not living in denial. And my bones are burned as a hearth. He said, my heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Now, when things in your life get so bad until where you forget to eat, you know we love to eat. You know we love to eat. You know we do. Some of y'all thinking about it right now. You're thinking about that pot you left on there. You can't wait till you get back to it. We love to eat. We really do. And you know, us Baptists, like others, Baptists love to eat. Am I right about it? Sure we do. We will have a meeting. We got to have some food. Amen. You can't have food if you're not. You can't have a meeting if you don't have any food. You got to have something to eat. But when you have problems and your problems are so bad until where you forget to eat, you've got some problems. And see, the psalmist was that way. And he said, my heart is smitten and withered like grass. He was saying that all these problems have caused my heart to wither like grass so much I can't even remember to eat properly. Listen, when our heart withers, you know what's going to happen? Our desires and our hope oftentimes will wither away. And I could take you to other scriptures, but I've got another point, too, that I've got to go to. 3 points in this sermon. But when a person's heart begins to wither, sometimes they'll lose their hope, they'll lose their desires, they'll lose their vision when their heart begins to wither. And problems in our lives can cause our hearts to wither. Listen, as a pastor, I've been pastoring now in just a few weeks, 23 years, been saved month after next for 38 years. And one thing that I've noticed now, almost a generation, one thing I've noticed is I've seen people, I'm talking about in the, I'm not talking about just here at Fellowship, I'm just talking about in the time that I've been living. I've seen people who had problems in their lives, and yet they just kept right on going, kept right on going. Sometimes they'd shed some tears. Sometimes they'd know what to do, but they just keep right on going. But yet I've seen others, when problems come, they start making decisions, and next thing you know, they'll miss a service here or miss a service there, or something will happen in their lives, and next thing you know, they're not where they are supposed to be. See, what we must do is when our heart begins to wither, we've got to get alone with God and talk to him and get help from him and just be open and honest with him. I could take it through scripture. You want to know when Moses got some help? Moses got help when he just got in God's presence and said, God, you done put all these folk on me. He said, I can't handle it too much. I'm paraphrasing. God said, all right, tell you what you do. Get your 70 men, you know, and you know how it is. And you go ahead and let them handle anything. If it's too much for them, then let them come to you. Do you want to know when the psalmist, yeah, I believe it's Psalm 73, when he got some help, he was saying, man, I've cleansed my heart. And my hands in innocence. I mean, what? Why? It seemed like as if you got the rich. It seemed like as if they just died in their strength. The kids all around them. I mean, he was just messed up all in his head. But thank God he was talking to God. And by the way, this is another point I'll get to in a minute. But he came to the house of God. And he said, once he got into the house of God, he said, then understood I therein. He said, they're in a slippery place. He understood it now. Hey, this is the best they ever going to have it, but they've got something far worse waiting for those who know not God. Yet this is the worst that I'm ever going to have, and I have something that's far better waiting for me. And so in life, there are going to be times, listen, when you're going to have your desire, your heart, your joy, different things, they can wither. But thank God we can get into his presence, talk to him, be honest with him, and he can restore us. We don't have to go through 2018 like we did through 2017. This can be a great year, but we have to understand that there are times when things in our lives can wither. So what can you do when something in your life has withered? Number one, I said, realize that things in your life can wither. Number two, I've already given you a little bit of the ammo, but let me give you the point. Number two, realize that you must stay faithful to the house of God. Realize that you must stay faithful to the house of God. Luke chapter 6, verse number 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. So Jesus was teaching the word in the synagogue. And guess who was there? A man was there who had his hand withered. Now, again, I want you to look at the way we're interpreting this. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus came into the synagogue, taught for a while, and then a man came in. There have been times when Jesus was going from a particular place or walking or whatever, and then someone came in, or maybe he was in a particular place. Maybe they tore off the roof and let somebody down. But this man was already in the house of God with his withered hand. And Jesus came into the house of God and taught. Jesus didn't need to ask the man, maybe walking by or something like that, hey, come on in and I can take care of your withered hand. No, the man was already there. This man would have been looked down on society, looked down by some people even in society, because his hand was withered. But be that as it may, he was still in the house of God. So let me make the application. When something withers in your life, the first thing that you need to do is get to the house of God. If a person's health withers, they must stay in God's house. If a person's family withers, they must stay in God's house. If a person's marriage withers, they must stay in God's house. If a person's finances withers, they must stay in God's house. If a person's heart withers, they must stay in God's house. If a person's joy withers, they must stay in God's house. This man heard Jesus teach. My Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Jesus told this man, he said, I want you to rise up, stretch forth your hand. This man, and we'll see this in my third point, this man had enough faith to stand up in the midst of all of those people so he could get some help. Do you know when you really get desperate and you want God to help you, you don't care about folk looking at you. You don't, not when you get serious about it. See, sometimes our hand may be like this, and we see in the direction in which it's going, but we're not serious enough yet. But when we see that it is withered away, and we determine we don't want to live the rest of our lives like this, and Jesus speaks to us and says, get up, bring it to me, stretch forward, you know what we're going to do? You're getting some help. And praise God, after a while, you'll be throwing 95 over the plate. This man heard Jesus. I don't know all that Jesus taught, but it gave him something. And I'll put it this way. Sometimes in life, and I know how the enemy works. When stuff comes up in your life, the enemy will tell you, drop out of church. Stay away from the house of God. You need to think about that thing. No, that's the enemy. My Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. One sermon could change the entire direction of your life, either for good that's it, amen. Amen. If it's the right sermon, it's not going to change it for bad. Sometimes you got to process something before you say it. It can take one sermon. In fact, you may be processing everything. But it can take one sermon that literally can change the entire course of direction of your life. And it can keep you going in a good path, or it can save you from going in a very negative and bad path. Some sermons will give you direction in which to go, and then some sermons will say you better not do that. And one sermon could make a difference. It's that one sermon. That's why we have to be faithful to God's house. That one sermon can bring deliverance from your fears. We miss out on so much in life because we're just afraid. One sermon could keep your marriage together. Give you strength to go on. One sermon could solve a family problem that you have sometime between you and your children or you and your siblings. One sermon could keep you from making a financial blunder. One sermon could help you cope with physical problems. One sermon could deliver you from depression. One sermon could give you your joy or your heart back. One sermon could rekindle your dreams that the enemy has poured water on. One sermon could make a difference when something in your life withers. Stay in God's house. The Bible teaches that the word of God can literally keep things from withering in your life. Let me give you a scripture. Psalm 1:1-3. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's the word. You're in it. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And the Bible's speaking metaphorically here. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Listen, the word of God is what keeps something from withering in our lives. However, when something has withered, If the word can prevent things from withering, and maybe we aren't applying the word like we need to, and then something withers, guess what can restore that which is withered? The word again. Because the word is likened unto water in the Bible. It's likened to several things, but one of them is water. And how is Jesus preparing his church for his return? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Jesus sanctifies his church. Jesus cleanses church by the water of the word. And the word can give us strength so that things in our lives will not wither. And even tying in what the psalmist said, that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's where we get his sustenance from. That bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. Listen, when something in your life is withering, you got to get into the house of God. Stay faithful. Get into the word of God on your own. Feed on the word and then listen to the applied word. And don't look at it as a word from man. Look at it as the word from God. One thing that a person should always look at in their church, and I've challenged you to do this. That's why I quote scriptures. I try to give you references. I want you to go back home and study it. But one thing that you should always be looking for in a church is what kind of word is coming from that pulpit. Amen. Is it a word that sanctifies you? Is it a word that cleanses you? Is it a word that prepares you for eternity? All three of those things you can see in Ephesians 5. Is it that kind of word that the Lord uses? Is that being preached and proclaimed and taught from the pulpit? If the answer is yes, then the word needs to be applied. And see, the applied word is what's going to make the difference, because the word can come from the pulpit all day long, but all of us have to apply that word. I have to apply the word that I'm preaching. You have to apply the word that I'm preaching, or whoever stands behind this pulpit. That's why you have to be very careful where you go to, because you can get a word that can mess you up. And I could stop and preach on that one, but I've seen that happen a number of times where people are messed up because of the word that they have gotten. And so, coming back to the point, when something in your life is withered, stay in God's house. You know what you ought to make 2018? You ought to make this the most faithful year that you've ever had. Don't let that, okay, there we go. There we go. There we go. There we go. Y'all were saying amen and so forth when I said that. I didn't hear as many. I heard a couple. I didn't hear as many. You ought to make this the most faithful year that you can ever remember. Don't let stuff keep you out. You get what God has for you. Sometimes we say, well, I feel like I'm withered in my soul and I haven't gotten away. Okay, how faithful have you been? You got to be faithful and then apply what you hear. One sermon could change the entire direction of your life. You go without the word for a while. Any of us. Anybody in this, I don't care who, you start from the pulpit, go to the last pew. Any of us. Go for a period of time without the word and see what happens. We'll be so withered, our brain will be withered, our spirits will be withered. There are times we've gone on our vacation, and one thing I see my wife do, and I hit my last point, one thing I see my wife do is she takes this little thing, green, got a little, you know, sprout on it, and she'll take it, and she'll water them plants before we go on vacation. If I'm going to preach a revival somewhere, she'll water them. And we get back off vacation, especially in the summer. You walk inside the house, and some of them plants look like they need some help. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Them plants, they need some help. And you know what I saw? You know what I've seen her do? I seen her go get that thing, go over to the sink, turn the water on. You know what she's doing? Go put some more water in her. And it soak them up, too. Thirsty. You know what happened? After a while, they looking all, that's right, looking all nice again. They erect. Everything is straight. I mean, they're standing straight up. Everything is good. We came in. Sad to say, some of them got a leaf done fall over. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, got a leaf done fall off, everything, you know what I'm saying? But then once, after a while, it comes back to where it's supposed to be. It's the same way in our lives. If we miss a service here, here, miss a service, miss a service, miss, here, 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 miss, here, 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 miss, here, miss. You know what? Our life's just going to be just like this. Just like that, and we'll never grow. We'll never prosper. We'll never be what God wants us to be. The Bible says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. Let the same thing keep you out of church that you let keep you out of your job. Isn't it amazing how people cannot not be in church, but they're gonna find a way to be at work. You wanna know why? Because it's what we value. We value the dollar more than we do the word. If we really look at the word and say, hey, I esteem the words of his mouth, like Job said, more than my necessary food, we're gonna do whatever we can to make sure we are in God's house. Because there are times when we go to work and we don't want to come to work. There are times when we go to work and somebody is upset at somebody at work. But you know what you do? You don't sit at home because you're upset at somebody at work. Your boss call you, where are you? Well, you know, I couldn't get along with, you know, so-and-so. He said, okay, well, you don't have to worry about getting along with them anymore. You can get along at the unemployment line. I'll be in. I'm okay. I'll be in. We're laughing and it's funny, and we ought to. But how many people have gotten out of a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church all because they couldn't get along with Sue or Joe? If Sue and Joe got a problem, let Sue and Joe have a problem. But you come in and get the word. Amen. You come in and get the word. I spent 40 minutes talking to somebody. And by the way, this is not in just the black or the white or the Hispanic. It's in every arena. The person I was speaking to just happened to be white. Left a good church. I know the church. All because I just didn't like this. But yet sitting up at the job, I'm talking to the person on their job. Leave a good church. Isn't it amazing? Because I know the place where the person works. I guarantee you, they don't get along with everybody on the job. You know what I want us to do this year? I want us to value the word. I want us to value the word. I'm going to preach the last one because the last one is just, I've already preached it, but I'm going to preach it. What can you do when something in your life is withered? I said, number one, realize that things in your life can wither. Number two, realize that you must stay faithful to the house of God. So I'm going to look Wednesday night to see. You say, well, I'll come. We'll see. I'm believing you will. Okay. There we go again. See, y'all, see, you wonder why I stopped and preached that last one? Because that's just what happened. I just got to, you know, just say amen, but it wasn't enthusiastic. It wasn't enthusiastic. You know it's something enthusiastic or not. You say, I'd already planned on staying home Wednesday night, preach. Here's the last one. I'm going to let you go home. What can you do when something in your life is withered? Number three, please get this one also. Number three, realize that you can be made whole. Realize you can be made whole. Luke chapter 6, verse 7 down through verse number 10. Look at it. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. And instead of hoping that this man could get his hand restored, the Pharisees were looking for something that they could accuse Jesus of. But he knew their thoughts, that shows his omniscience, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth and said, Jesus, and then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Listen, this man had to rise up and stretch forth his withered hand, and his hand was restored just like it was before, just like the other. Listen, healing can only come when the withered hand is restored. You got to put it out before the Lord, whatever that thing is. Whatever it is in your life that's withered, put that thing out before the Lord. Listen, this can be your year of new beginnings. And this can be your year of great things. The question is today, what is withered in your life? What is withered in your life? I came to tell you, can be made whole. Don't you allow the devil, the enemy, or yourself to tell you that you can't be made whole, that you can't be restored, that you can't have a great future, that you can't have your joy back, that those desires that you at one time had, that they cannot be restored. The devil is a liar, and he's the father of it. When he opens his mouth, he tells a lie. Even when he's telling truth, he tells a lie. because he'll mix something with it. Don't you allow the enemy to tell you that you can't be. Yes, you can. I don't care what anybody tells you. You can be restored. Things in your life that have withered can be restored. But you need to, by faith, bring those things out. Lay them before the Lord and watch and see if he doesn't restore you like you was before, or like you were before, or greater than you've ever been. Let this year be your year. Let's bow for prayer.